Hello, Tea Crew, and welcome to a brand new episode of Tea Talk with Sha. Today, we're going to be getting into all the trending topics all over social media and the internet, and we're also going to be doing a deep dive into the royal madness that is going on right now. Where is Kate? What the palace is saying? We're going to be getting into all of it. You're not going to want to miss this episode, so stay tuned. All right, Tea Crew, as per usual, the cup runneth over with tea. So let's get straight into it. So the first topic here, Nene and Portia feud. Now, Nene took to her social media over the weekend and explained that she was supposed to be working on an upcoming project with Portia, that they had both been called upon to do a guest feature on the Netflix show, The Upshaws. And that, you know, stars Wanda Sykes, Mike Epps, Kim Fields, and the particular episode that both of the ladies were supposed to be in was directed by Kim Fields. I think Kim also did some directing in the last season of The Upshaws as well. Now, Kim Fields used to be on ROA. I think she only did one season, but she was a Real Housewife of Atlanta for a season. So she's very familiar with both ladies. They work together, or of course they've seen each other in passing. So Nene then goes on to describe her time on set, how she was supposed to wear something silver, but Portia was going to wear something in the silver family. So she decided to wear a whole new outfit, and that she was excited to be on set with Portia and kind of chop it up because they haven't spoken for a long time. And then she was, you know, she didn't see Portia on set. So she was confused and she was like, well, you know, where's Portia? What's going on? And they said, well, do you have any other, you know, issues with any other housewives? Because we have to recast for a housewife, but it's no longer going to be Portia. And Nene was confused at this point. She was like, well, what happened with Portia? And, you know, they said that there was issues in their past and that Portia did not want to work with Nene, because of these past issues. And Nene was like, you know, I don't have any issues with any other housewife. You can cast anybody else that you want, right? So them being friends and friendly, especially, you know, going to each other's homes and their, you know, boo things, hang out, because I don't really know what to call Nene's guy. Like, they broke up, but they're still kind of together, whatever. So, you know, they've been very social. So she texts Portia, and Portia basically says, you know, I'm going through a divorce and you didn't even reach out to me and I just didn't want to be on set with you. And Nene was like, wait, I'm not trying to get into your business. I didn't know if this was for the show, because we all know, you know, Portia has signed on for a wonderful deal with Bravo for not only to come back to ROA, but also an unscripted show that will be on Bravo. And so Nene's like, I didn't know if y'all were just fighting. I didn't know what the situation was. Like, you filed for the divorce, but the divorce is not final. So, you know, Nene's like, I didn't know that this was something that was really going on with you. And we were going to be able to kind of, that's what I wanted to get into when I saw you on set, essentially. But people are really calling Portia out for trying to stop Nene's bag. Honestly, my conspiracy, allegedly, tinfoil hat moment, I really think this is really going into ROA once again, right? Think about it. All these things are happening at the exact same time. She was just, and to Nene's point, because Nene also brought up in her video, she's like, you were just celebrating Valentine's Day with this man in Dubai, you know, floating all over the world on jet skis. And then the next week you're divorced. Of course, I thought it was a storyline, just like the just like the rest of us, right? So they basically sat there and discussed all these things. And in my mind, I'm like, they don't want Nene back, right? This is where my conspiracies are starts. They don't want Nene back. The network has made that very clear. She has not been extended a friend of offer or a peach, right? But if she gets involved with some really hot stuff with Portia and Portia is on the show, I feel like this is Portia's way of extending the olive branch to her friend, Nene, to be like, listen, let's stir up some mess real quick. And that Bravo is so greedy, they won't be able to turn down a friend of position because they want to see you and I get into the beef of it all, right? And so even if Nene doesn't come back until much later in the season, now they have something to kind of go back and forth about because people are going to remember this beef very clearly when they start filming. I think that, like I said many times, and you guys keep fighting with me in the comments, and it's fine. Thank you for the engagement. Portia Williams, Eosa Gobadia Williams is going to be bringing back the viewership by any means necessary, people. If she has to go through a divorce, if she has to fight with one of her friends, like big sis, little sis ain't going nowhere. This girl would not sit here and fight publicly with Nene before trying to reach out to Nene and be like, oh girl, you know, I'm going through a divorce and you didn't say anything to me. You haven't, you know, texted me. You haven't called me. Like, I'm really going through a hard time and I expected you to reach out. That's as simple as that. That had to be. It does not have to be this whole I don't want to work with her, we have issues from our past. Like, that to me is very, very, very produced. And I would not be surprised if we don't get a call back from this when they start filming, whether Nene is there or not. Portia is building her storyline, people. And I think a lot of people got to take notes. These new girls, they get these high paydays from Bravo and they're trying to basically show their worth on a reunion, or they're trying to show their worth at a brunch and try to start arguments out of nowhere. No, that is not how you do it. This is how you do it. You stir up things way before you even start filming. You get everybody interested. And by the time the cameras start rolling for Real Housewives of Atlanta, there's not anyone who was vaguely interested in the franchise that is not going to be tuned in. Everyone that I talk to is like, oh yeah, I'm watching season 16. I'm going to watch season 16. Season 16 is on my DVR already. Like, come on. This is how you build a season. You build it up. Beverly Hills did the same thing with the whole Kyle separation. I think Kyle and Mauricio played their separation perfectly. Kyle still doesn't want to release what it was that made her separate from Mauricio, but in my eyes as a viewer, it doesn't even matter. Why? Because you gave us the Morgan Wade. You gave us the sexy music video. You gave us other things to kind of occupy our time. If you don't want to tell us the real reason for the separation, it's fine, but it's just like at least you're giving us something. You know what I mean? If the new girls wonder how it's done, this is how it's done. This is how it's done. This is how you pull the viewers in. All right, but I don't want to spend any more time on that. But let me know what you guys think about that, because that is my tinfoil conspiracy theory, allegedly, that that is what is going on. But I would love to know what you guys think about that. All right, let's get into the next topic here. Gilbert Arenas gets messy on his podcast with Nick Young and basically starts to allege gay rumors on Nick Young because he has a friendship with Saucy Santana. So Saucy Santana and Nick Young, who is a retired basketball player, were on College Hill together, and on the show they became friendly. And you know, College Hill is good for this, right? We saw this same kind of moment between Big Frida and Slim Thug last season, where they were able to kind of come together with a meeting of the minds, right? Straight men, gay men, kind of understanding each other. And I think the College Hill House is a perfect place for that. Then you have ignorant people like Gilbert Arenas coming on their podcast being like, oh, this is your man, and playing videos of Saucy Santana dancing. Now, Santana thoroughly cleared. So I don't feel like he needs my help clearing Gilbert, but it's just like, this is what is so wrong, in my opinion, with the Black community. It's like, you see, they obviously didn't have too much in common, but they were able to build a friendship on College Hill. Why do you have to challenge that by playing Saucy's twerking videos on your podcast and trying to make fun of it? Like, a straight man who's confident in his sexuality can't be friends with a gay man? That makes absolutely no sense to me. If you know who you are and you know what your identity is, you know what your sexuality is, you're comfortable with yourself, why would you not then be able to be friends with a person who is the same with their identity, with their sexuality, with their self? So it doesn't even make sense what he's even asserting. It's so stupid. Like, and I'm really, I don't know if it's just me, but y'all know we talk over here. So I don't know if it's just me, But I'm really getting sick of these men trying to be messy on these podcasts. First, we had Fabio Foreign trying to dry snitch on Natalie Nunn. Then we had the guy who was claiming that he had an affair with Shawnee. And it's just like, why do y'all think it's cute to get on these podcasts and like spill tea and spill other people's tea? Not even your own tea. You're on here spilling other people's tea and just being unnecessarily messy. It's like, it's not giving what you think is giving. Like, it's making you all look extremely crazy. Like, it's not making you look the way you think you look. And I think a lot of y'all need to move on, because I don't even know if you're making any money from this. I think you're just embarrassing yourself. Like, Gilbert, please move on. Please move on, sir. I think we're done. I think you can wrap it up. All right, let's get on to the next topic here. The NAACP Image Awards were this weekend. Some big winners of note: Taraji P. Henson won for Best Supporting Actress. Fantasia Barrino won for, or is it Barrino Taylor now? Y'all know Fanny got married a few years ago. But anyway, Fanny won for Best Actress for The Color Purple as well. I was happy to see both of them win, because you know The Color Purple really hasn't been winning this award season. They really haven't gotten anything big for The Color Purple, so it's nice to see both of them be honored. Damon Idris from Snowfall won an Image Award for Best Actor, and his mom came all the way from Lagos, Nigeria. Well, I don't know if it was Lagos, but Nigeria to celebrate her son's win. And she just was beaming with pride. So it was a really cute moment that they had together. She basically told her son, if I fly all the way from Nigeria, you better win. And he did win. So we were happy about that. And it was just a great night overall. Queen Latifah hosted. She looked amazing. I'm sorry if the sip bothers anybody, but you know, you guys know what's up. Longtime listeners, I also have a day job. And at this day job, we pick up these times of the year. So I have to record at night, and my voice is a little more raspy. So I will be sipping tea from occasionally to kind of keep up with that. But y'all know that. Let's get back into the tea. So it was a good night had by all. Everyone looked really cute. And also, Taraji used this as another opportunity to talk about pay disparages, you know, with different actors in Hollywood. So I'm just like, yes, keep talking about it until something changes. And, you know, don't mute yourself. Don't silence yourself. Like, this is something that needs to get out there. As much as we talk about other stuff, we could definitely talk about this. You know, there's no reason why we can't. All right, let's talk about this next topic here. Amber Rose thinks that Kanye West owes her $20 million for her role in Twisted Dark Fantasy. So Amber Rose did a nice lengthy sit down with Jason Lee on his show. And she basically spoke about, you know, all of her big relationships that she's had, right? Talked about Wiz Khalifa, she talked about Kanye, she talked about even MGK at some point. So she did talk about 21 Savage. She talks about a lot of the stars that she dated. And she talks about her collaborative efforts that she put into My Twisted Dark Fantasy. Now, earlier in the interview, she talked about her relationship with Kanye and how she never had to pay for anything. Everything was kind of done for her at her beck and call, but she never got any like cash money from the relationship. But she thinks that she definitely, you know, was collaborating with him, and she's owed some money for basically being his muse for the project, licensing off her likeness for the project and things like that. This is what I will say. Do I think that he owes her anything now? No. But for women in this situation, and maybe this is something that Bianca might want to look into, if you feel like you are helping someone creatively, or you're their muse, or they're taking your likeness for something, you need to get a contract with that person. You need to go ahead and get a contract with that person. You need to license with that person. And some might say, well, Bianca is his wife. Why would she need to get into licensing? Why would she need to get into contracts? Because things don't last, and it's no shade. And anybody who's married, I hope your marriage lasts forever. I'm not trying to be like, pessimistic about people's marriages, but at the end of the day, nothing lasts forever. And if you've contributed to something as big as this project that Amber's talking about, or any project, you should be compensated for it. And if you're in a relationship with that person, that shouldn't stop you from being compensated. But here's the thing, all these years later, is she gonna get the money? She probably won't, because there's nothing in place. As a girlfriend, or even when you're a wife and you marry somebody, you put a lot into these relationships. You put a lot into these projects and things that they're working on. If you're not credited on the album, or you're not credited on the project, as time goes by, people just kind of forget about your contribution and what you put into it, unless you get the credit, unless you're on the publishing, unless you have a contract and you're getting compensated for your likeness. People are still streaming My Twisted Dark Fantasy. People are still streaming the videos. So it's just like your likeness is all over that project, and you're not getting compensated because you were kind of like young and in love and whatever. But I would just say, from this situation, we can all learn that, get your money, sis, or bro, or them, they, like, get your money. Because, like, I hate to say it like this, but love fades, relationships break up, and you want your intellectual property to stay in your name. You know what I mean? Way beyond the relationship, way beyond the lust, way beyond the infatuation, the things that you've done, the tangible things that you've done for others, if it's something that they're going to benefit from financially, you should have your credit for that. You should have your piece of that. But in order to get that, you have to, get your licensing, get your contracts and stuff, and get it in perpetuity, which means you will continuously get paid for the life of the project. Don't get a big sum up front, because you don't know how much that can make over time. Get it in perpetuity, so you will continuously be paid as people continuously stream this classic album. You see what I'm saying? And I wish Amber would have done that, but it is what it is. She's still living a very lucrative life. And who's to say? She might pull a Drea. She might pull a Drea late in life and keep it going. All right. So the next topic here, Ray J suggests that Monica and Brandy go on tour on Monica's Live. So Monica is on tour with Nicki Minaj right now, and people say it's going really well. People are really vibing and enjoying her opening that she's doing for Nicki Minaj. And Ray J hopped in her live and was like, "Man, this is fun. Ha hee hee. Great job. You should go on tour with my sister." You and my sister should go on tour. Both y'all need to go on tour. And he was basically just saying, from that viral verses they had during the pandemic, that that would be a tour that people would love to go to. I personally would love to see a Brandy and Monica tour. I think that would be great. I would love to see the women do, the Boy Is Mine together, and maybe they can collab on a couple other remixes or something like that. And then just do their own solo sets and bring people out. Like, I just think that would be such a fun thing. Maybe have a couple under like 90s features or something like that. I think that would be great. I think it's a great idea. Why he didn't just DM her, email her. I don't know why he felt the need to jump in her live, but hey, when you have a good idea, when it hits you, Maybe it was one of those situations for Ray J. So yeah, I would love to see it. I would love to see it. I'm glad that Monica is getting this exposure. I'm glad, Nicki lifted her hand out to have Monica come on this tour with her. And it's all good. It's all good. All right, the last topic here, Bruno Mars owes MGM Grand $50 million, allegedly, for a gambling debt. But he is going to be starring in shows that start in May with Anderson .Paak. So I saw this headline going around, but I feel like people aren't giving the full story, so I want to talk about it. And you guys know that's big for me, because I don't like Bruno Mars. Not in the slightest. Like, I don't like him at all. But I think it's not fair when people are kind of like framing the story in a way, but not telling the whole story. So allegedly, yes, Bruno Mars does owe MGM Grand $50 million, but he also has a contract with MGM Grand for $90 million for the upcoming shows that he has with his group collaborator, Anderson .Paak, and other promo things that he's done for the Casino Hotel. So they owe him $90 million after taxes or whatever. That works out to be about $60 million. So even after he pays his gambling debt, he'll have about $10 million. And while he's working for MGM Grand, he can live there for free in their penthouse. So it's like he has $10 million to play with, and he can live and eat and house at the MGM, while as long as he's there. So while I think $50,000 is a huge gambling debt and he may have to look into that, I think people should tell the full story that they owe him $90 million. And that they're probably going to take the debt out of what he owes or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, he's not like that tied into the situation, if that makes sense. And it's important to kind of tell the complete story of that. But yeah, Bruno Mars also used to work as a professional poker player. And, I guess you win some, you lose some. So maybe he's just out there. Honestly, I think if you could gamble away $50 million, you probably don't need to be in Vegas, but the rest of his deal kind of hinges on him being in Vegas. And like I said, the Supersonic shows start in May. So this is the time when he really does need to be in Vegas preparing for these shows. So, while you're not my favorite, Bruno, we wish you the best of luck. Save that residual $10 million that you have. Hold it. Do not gamble it away, please. Although that's more money than most of us will see in our lifetime. So you know what I mean? It's like, let this man live. Like, he didn't gamble away everything. He gambled away close to everything, but not everything. He still has a remaining $10 million. So just saying. All right, guys, this has been all of the trending topics that we'll be covering today. Stay tuned for our sports report.
Hello, hello, hello out there, and welcome to the Sports Update with J-Rob. Today I'll be covering the NFL. Let's start with NFL free agent news. The Baltimore Ravens have signed all-pro running back Derrick Henry to a two-year contract worth $16 million. Also, the Washington Commanders have signed running back Austin Ekeler to a two-year contract worth about $11 million. Also, the Las Vegas Raiders have signed quarterback Gardner Minshew to a two-year contract worth $25 million. Also, the Philadelphia Eagles have signed running back Saquon Barkley to a three-year contract worth $37.75 million. Also, the Atlanta Falcons have signed quarterback Kirk Cousins to a four-year contract worth $180 million. Also, the Tennessee Titans have signed running back Tony Pollard to a three-year contract worth $24 million. And finally, the Pittsburgh Steelers have signed quarterback Russell Wilson to a one-year contract worth $1.2 million. Russell Wilson's former team, the Denver Broncos, must pay Wilson $37.79 million this season due to the contract extension he signed with the Broncos in 2022 that included guaranteed money. And this has been the Sports Update with J-Rob. Have an amazing week.
All right, T-Crew, it's time for my favorite part of the podcast. And today is going to be real juicy because we're talking about the royal family. I want to say up top of this deep dive, this is all alleged and for entertainment purposes only. I don't need the Mountie Police running after me. I am just an entertainment podcaster. These things are all alleged and they are also widely reported. I wasn't the first person to report them and I will not be the last person to report them. Please don't sue me. Okay, let's get into it. So allegedly, Princess Kate Middleton has been missing and not seen in public since December 2023. And a lot of rumors have been swirling about her whereabouts. Where is she? Did she have cosmetic surgery that she's hiding her face or hiding parts of her body that she's going to unfurl to the public in the spring? Is she divorcing William for his alleged longtime affair with his friend's wife, Rose? Is she taking time away to care for her ill father-in-law? Because, you know, there are also things out there that, you know, the king is not as well as he seems to be, and that Kate has stepped away to really help him in his illness. The Royal Palace has also been cropping photos of Kate to make it appear that she's still in the palace grounds. Everything is fine and well. She just hasn't been in the public eye, but that the Royal Palace cameras have caught her several times and she's alive and well. Well, these are all wild theories. I honestly would have to go with the second one, that she is possibly divorcing William. You know, this family, unfortunately, has had a terrible past with infidelity and cheating. You know, his father cheated on our favorite Princess Diana back in the day with Camilla, and then now has Camilla sitting up as Queen Regent, which is basically like the highest honor you can have as a divorced person. And so, you know, I wouldn't put it past this family. I think even though people give Meghan Markle a hard time, this is another reason why she wanted to get her family and her marriage away from the palace and away from this situation, because, you know, allegedly cheating is very, you know, accepted in the royal family because William is going to be the next king one day, and they just want to keep him happy. They want to keep him doing his press tours and the things that he has to do. So it's like, it's a very stressful life full of obligations, and affairs are basically, from what I hear and what I could find on the internet, very allowed and very accepted in the royal palace, right? And that puts a lot of pressure on Kate to also be okay with it. Now, we all know Princess Diana was like, I'm not dealing with this. I'm out. You know, William saw how much it hurt his mother. And that's why it's like, as a boy mom, because boys and their mothers have such a tight relationship, as a boy mom, it's like, I don't know how William could even stomach his father, much less follow in the footsteps of his father, as it pertains to cheating and affairs and stuff like that. But for him to then allegedly do it to his own wife and family is just like, sir, what is happening? But again, you know, these monarchies, it's just unnatural for one person to have all that on their shoulders. And it just creates so many issues. It creates cheating. It creates frustration. It creates, you know, unresolved anger and just feeling like you have this duty to the crown and all this stuff. It's like an unbearable weight is on his shoulders to the point where he's like, I can't even keep up with the things that I need to as a man, much less a father and a husband. But anyway, this is about Kate. I just did a deep dive into William's psychosis, but this is about Kate. Where is Kate? And at some point, if she's living in the palace, why can't they just be like, girl, go upstairs and throw on a cute little suit outfit from Topshop and come down in front of this little water fountain and we're going to get your picture with the kids, because we can't have these rumors circulating in the palace and the kingdom and the greater kingdom, you know, any longer. So come on down. We're going to take these shots real quick and put all this stuff to bed. That's kind of what makes me feel like it could be the first one that she did have some type of surgery, because unfortunately, if the second one is true, that William is running around having affairs, unfortunately, it pushes a lot of wives to get plastic surgery because they're no longer happy with their bodies. They're no longer happy with the way they look. They feel as if they look younger. If they look more appealing, that will keep their husband home. Let me tell y'all something, because we talk on this podcast. Don't do that. Unless it's something that you truly, truly do not like about yourself and that's something that you really want to change forever, and it really has less to do with your relationship and more to do with how you feel about yourself, in that case, do it. Do it, do it, if it's going to make you feel better about yourself. But you have to realize that these things come from within. You can't fix something on the outside and be happy, because there will always be something on the outside that you don't like. You know what I mean? And it's just like, especially if you're doing it for somebody else, I would just say, don't do it. Like, please don't do it. Like, you will ruin your face, your body, everything. None of this stuff lasts. It's literally plastic surgery. Plastics do not last. You will have to go back and get maintenance on this. Breast implants, butt implants, fat injections, all of this stuff has to be maintained over the years. You can't just get it, set it and forget it. You know, you have to then have consultations. You have to, if you get pregnant or if your body changes or whatever, you have to then go back into the surgeon to make sure everything is okay and nothing's leaking, nothing's hurting you. Foreign substances in your body, people, you gotta check it. You can't just let it go. It's killed people, literally. So don't do that. Don't change your body. Don't change your face. If they are stepping out on you, believe me, they will step out on you if you were a perfect 10. I mean, think about it. Beyonce got cheated on. Halle Berry got cheated on. Like, some of the most beautiful women in the world have been cheated on. So don't think that plastic surgery is going to change that. But a lot of women do think that plastic surgery could change the way that their husbands look at them and keep them home or whatever. So maybe that's what happened with her. And she feels like, you know, now I'm in a better position, that I look younger. And, you know, she's had 3 kids. She might not be as confident in her body as she was. I always thought she looked great. You know, I always thought she looked great. I thought she looked fashionable. I thought she was always like dressed appropriately as a princess, but always looked great and not like frumpy or whatever. So, who child, it's a lot. I don't know. You know, Harry and Meghan have not weighed in. They've just, you know, they've stepped away and they're staying away. I'm sure people have been asking them for their opinion, but they haven't given it. You know, there's no official word from the palace besides these weirdly cropped photos. And that's another thing too. It's like the palace is so big, so extensive. A million people work there. Nobody could have reviewed these cropped photos to remove William's other hand. It's like y'all supposed to be photoshopping these photos to make us believe y'all couldn't even take the time to properly photoshop the photos so people can't see extra tires in the pictures and extra hands in the pictures, and people are finding the pictures on Google image search from another time before they did the crop of the other parent. And it's just like, come on, this is the best the castle can do? This is the best the palace can do? I'm a little disappointed in that. Y'all don't have AI? Y'all don't have AI chat that you can make a new picture of Kate and post it? I'm disappointed. I'm thoroughly disappointed in that. The palace needs to step it up. Step it up, Kensington. There's no reason why you don't have an AI picture ready to go at all times of every single royal. If you're trying to keep things under wraps, you have to have these things. What is happening? What is happening? I don't know. Y'all tell me. Y'all tell me in the comments what you think. Where is Kate? Where has she been? Do you think it was surgery? Do you think it's a brewing divorce? Do you think it's just pressures with the kids? Do you think she's taking care of her father-in-law? Do you think she really can't stand Camilla? People, there's rumors allegedly around the palace that, you know, people don't like Camilla. They don't want to be around her. And now that, you know, the king has cancer and she's been kind of stepping up for him and doing a lot of his public appearances, maybe Kate's like, eh, this is a good time for me to bow out too. I'm tired of y'all. Who knows? Well, I want to know what you guys think in the comments. Okay, everyone, this has been our deep dive. Stay tuned for our outro comments. All right, T-Crew, this is my least favorite part of the podcast where I have to say goodbye to you. As always, arrest the cops that killed Breonna Taylor. We won't stop until they're all convicted, period. Have a beautiful day or night wherever you are. And I love you for listening. Bye.